Very good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We shall now look at a few Bible verses that will demonstrate that the flood is not local, but the flood is 100% global. That means this whole earth of ours, once upon a time, was completely covered by water. All right, some of these verses, please look at chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 13. And then we're going to focus after that on chapter 9, that is the new world. Because if you do not believe that there was a global flood, how can you and I look at the new world? If it was a local flood, that means it will always be an old world, just as we have since then many other floods. But they are still part of this old earth, this old world that we live in. Verse 12 and verse 13. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Okay, this is the reason why God had to destroy this whole old earth before we talk about the new earth. Chapter 7, verse 4. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance, not just things, substance, and this word living substance occurs only 3 times in the whole Old Testament, not just the book of Genesis. In these 3 occurrences, twice will appear in the book of Genesis, and twice, the same 2 times will appear in this chapter, chapter 7. Every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Now, that's how specific God's word is. Every living substance, the substance there means everything that is alive. And everything that is alive that is found on the face of the earth, everything that is found in the ocean, in the seas, are excluded. That is why Noah did not bring any aquarium for any fish. God will preserve the whole earth, especially the fish that can survive in only seawater and the fish that can survive only in fresh water. So even when the whole earth was covered by water, God made sure that the seawater and the fresh water were not so completely mixed together that the whole earth became seawater. Otherwise, the freshwater fishes would have been killed. So God thought of everything. So please note the specificity of how God will describe the destruction of this whole earth. So every living substance that needs the earth to survive, including the birds, because you can't fly in the sky for more than a whole year, because that's exactly how long this whole earth will be destroyed. Before God asked Noah to open the door of the ark, and then he will step out of the ark, and he will see the whole earth, which will be a brand new earth that he had never seen before. The earth that he saw when God asked him to get into the ark was an earth that he witnessed, now full of sin, where people lived 800-900 years. But then at the end of the flood, about 1 year and 10 days later, he will open his eyes and he will see a brand new earth, brand new world that he had never seen before. And so whatever trade, whatever skill that he had that kept him alive when he was in the old world will be rendered completely, totally useless. For example, if you have been a computer genius in those days, the new earth, you have no computers, they have no electricity, everything was back to square one. The only thing he could do was to be a farmer. And he did that, as you can find in Genesis chapter 9. Another passage to describe the completeness of the watery flood, that it had to be global and not local. Verse 4 of chapter 7 was what God said. Verse 19 to verse 24 will now be what God did. Okay, God said, every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Now watch. Verse 4, what God said. Verse 19 to 24, what God did. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all high hills that were under the whole heaven. The whole heaven means everything that is under the whole heaven. That is the heaven that covers the whole earth. That is the atmospheric heaven. So every high hill, every mountains, everything that were under the whole heaven were covered. Now how specific do you want God to be? It is not part of the earth, it's the whole earth, because the whole earth is always under the heavens. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. So God even made sure that as this ark floated throughout the entire globe that was covered with water, it has been calculated that when it is fully loaded with 8 men and women and all the animals inside, the ark, with the description that is given to us in chapter 6 pertaining to the length, the breadth and the depth of the ark, when it is fully loaded, it will sink up to a particular portion that will never exceed 15 cubits. So much so that no matter where it floated, it will always never touch the top of any mountain that had been covered. So it will always be safe. In other words, it was not designed to travel fast. It was a box-like structure. The design was meant to float and to keep Noah and his family and all the animals alive. That was the purpose. And God made sure of all these minute details. The highest mountain, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, that is, cover above the highest mountain up to a depth of 15 cubits. And all flesh died that moved upon the face of the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. So all flesh, every man, no exception. As long as you need to live on land to survive, you perish. All in whose nostril was the breath of life, of all that was in dry land died. You see? All of them. And every living substance, I see verse 4, now appears again in verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed by God, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heavens, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Now please note the repeated use of the conjunction "and" in verse 3. That means every phrase that is found inside there that is used to describe, is described by the word "and." It's to tell us that it is for emphasis. God knew exactly what he was doing. God's aim and God's purpose was to destroy every man, every cattle, every creeping thing, every fowl of the heaven, and everything that was on earth died. That's why the use of the conjunction is there, to emphasize what God did. No exception. And the waters prevailed upon the earth another 150 days to make sure nothing could survive. Unless you can hold your breath for 150 days. Nobody could. Nothing could do that. The people who believed in theistic evolution, they could never accept the global flood. Because for them, the calculation they used to measure the date of this planet Earth, which numbers in the billions of years, is based upon a local flood destruction. If there had been a global flood destruction, their calculation method, which is based upon a constant rate of decay, would have been destroyed. Because a global flood would destroy everything that they assumed to be true. That's why those who believe in theistic evolution, where the world is billions of years old, cannot accept a global flood. They have to believe in a local flood in order for them to be consistent. And that's exactly what they did. And the sad part is some of these are called Christians, or they call themselves Christians. And therefore they do not believe that this world that we're living in is a new world. It's the old world. It never changed. But God had to recreate the entire topography, the geology of this planet of ours, because when the flood came, the waters above collapsed onto this earth. And so now, the water is not just what you find on the earth, it's now from heaven and earth now all on the earth. So God had to push the land further up. So much so that the new topography that Noah saw when he opened the ark was unlike the old topography that he witnessed before he entered the ark. And the topography that he saw is the topography that we saw today. Well, we are seeing today. This is our world. This is our planet. So the new world that was from Noah's perspective is our world. What Noah saw before the flood, we have never seen. There was no picture. And because of the global flood, that means the Garden of Eden that was in existence after the fall, that God prevented any human being from entering because angels with a flaming sword surrounded it. That garden was also destroyed together with the flood. So please do not think that it is found somewhere in Iraq or because of the river Tigris and Euphrates. Then how did these names come about? Well, the river Tigris and Euphrates, perhaps when Noah came out of the ark, he named these rivers after the four rivers that branch out from the Garden of Eden. And two of them was Tigris and Euphrates. And that's how he named the two rivers, and that's what you find today. Because the global flood destroyed everything. So please don't try to start an expedition and find the Garden of Eden. You're not going to find it there. It's gone. It's destroyed permanently by the flood, by God. It was there for the people to see and for the people to witness. You all could have been inside. But because of Adam, everyone now had to be kicked out for man's own good. Now that man is in a state of sin, if he had eaten the tree or the fruit from the tree of life, he will be beyond salvation because he will then be eternally stuck in that state of sin, beyond salvation. Right now we are in sin, but we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and find salvation. That's why God had to send Adam and Eve out of the garden. And now God had to start afresh with this new world because of sin. Because the sin in the days of Noah before the flood was so great that if God had not done something as drastic as a global destruction, God's plan of salvation for mankind would have been over. Because there were only eight. The last man to die before the flood came was the oldest man alive, Methuselah. You calculate the ages and you realize that the year he died was the year the flood came. And then there were only eight who believed, who were saved. Nobody else out of the world that could have been as large as a billion people because of the number of years that they lived. They could have so many children. You calculate at what generation did Adam witness before the Lord took him home. He died at the age of 930. You just calculate how many grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grandchildren he saw before he died. And everyone had that kind of experience. That kind of experience in those days was normal. And God had to destroy the whole earth and give us a new world. And that's our world. So what is this new world like? Genesis chapter 9. Verse 1 to verse 7, it will be a world with a new diet. So now you know the origin of eating meat. Who gave us permission to eat meat? God did. Verse 1 to verse 7. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This was also given to Adam in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 when there were only two on the earth. So if you were asked a quiz, who was the richest family on planet earth, who owned the largest amount of land? It had to be Adam and Eve. Because they owned the whole earth. There were only two of them. So everywhere they went, everywhere they walked, it's our home, our land. Every garden, every pit, every part, every piece of tree, plant, whatever it is, it's ours. Wonderful, isn't it? And now, the second most richest family on earth, Noah. Because everywhere you can stay, anywhere, the whole earth is yours. And because they are the only family, land must be very cheap. Land is expensive because there's supply and demand. So only eight of them. You can stay anywhere you like and sleep anywhere you like. You can go anywhere you like. It's all ours. No need passport, no need nothing. So nice, isn't it, huh? You own the whole earth, you know, so you can go anywhere,
Wonderful. But that was their experience. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Because now there are only eight, just as there was only two. And there are some people who say that, well, God says replenish, so we must continue to replenish. So therefore, Christian parents, you cannot have family planning. Now you must continue to replenish. Now no need, 8 billion already, no need. Fully replenish. So please, this is for Noah and his family and for Adam. And they were the only ones who were given because there were only two at the beginning and now eight at the beginning, the new beginning. Now you are not at the beginning, now you are at the tail end. No more at the beginning. Okay, so please, don't apply this text incorrectly. Verse 2. And then the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Now in the flood, in chapter 6, 7, and 8, the fish never included. But now the fish is included with the listing of all the other creatures. And this time round, the Bible says, I will put the fear of man and the dread of man inside all of my creations. The beasts on earth, the birds in the air, and everything that moveth on the earth, including reptiles, crocodiles, everything, and also the fish in the sea. Why? Because now they're going to be afraid of you, because now I give you permission to eat them. Look at verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Wow. So nice, huh? In the past, you call them, they come. You can pat them on the back. They are not afraid of you because they know you're not going to eat them. But now God gave you permission to eat them because now God says you're going to be hunters. If the animals just come to you when you call them, if the birds fly up there, you say, bird, come down. The bird will just come down and land on top of you. You just pat it on the back. You can go off. You go off. But now you come down, catch, barbecue, eat. No more already. Now you can come down. No, I'm not coming down. Because now the birds are going to be afraid of you. That's what the Bible says. So the fear of man will be found in the fish, in all the reptiles, all the amphibians, in all the beast animals that walked on land, as well as all the birds in the sky. They will now be afraid of us. So this new world, because of the new diet that God gave to us, God now turned us into hunters. You have to hunt now. That is why when the Bible speaks of Nimrod, a mighty hunter in chapter 10, verse 9. He was not a hunter of animals. He was a hunter of men. The whole context was about men. That's why this Nimrod was a wicked fellow. He is an evil leader. He was the brainchild of the first ecumenical movement. But in those days, there were no hunters. Now we are all going to be hunters. The animals will now be frightened of us. So when you go fishing, now you know why the fish is afraid of you. Now you have to use a bait to trick the fish. Last time you just call the fish come. Just like what Jesus did, call the fish came to him. He is God. When God made us dominion over God's creatures, in Genesis 1, we really had dominion. But now God gave us permission to eat them. God says, you're going to work hard now if you want to eat meat. So that you will have less time to sin. God will now restrict the number of years that we're going to have on earth to 70 years, so that we will have less time to sin. Imagine in those days when people live up to 800-900 years, if you're a murderer, eight, 900 years to murder people. That's why the world became so rotten, so wicked, so evil, so fast. So God had to turn everything, limit the number of years man will have on earth, and in spite of that, you just imagine a man like Hitler who lived, 40, 50 years of his life? And not every year of his life he was wicked. When he was a baby, when he was a toddler, he was not that bad. I don't think so. But with that brief moment of time of his existence on earth, imagine the kind of damage that he could have done if he had lived up to 600, 700, 800, 900 years. So God had to change this new world, give us permission to eat so that we will have to hunt. That means we have to make more effort to busy ourselves in keeping our body and soul together in order that we may sin less. And with the shortened lifespan into 70 years, which we all try to extend, all right? We eat vitamins, we see doctors, and now it has increased a little bit. Albeit, it is still nothing compared to the days of Methuselah, 800, 900 years. Because God wants to preserve this earth for as long as possible
because we are no better than the people in the days before the flood, just as evil, just as wicked. And now God gave us permission to eat meat, and we all love to eat meat, and that's why after this service, many of us are going to go eat meat. Right? Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Now, of course, some of us from different countries, we find it so hard to eat certain kind of moving things. Right? Every moving thing that liveth. But for Chinese, there is a saying, right? Everything, anything that has four legs, we eat. Except tables and chairs. That's what I was told by my mom. And so we eat everything, and everything tastes good to us. Right? If you don't want to eat certain things, it's because we have an aversion. We just don't want it, that's all. It's a preference. But if we could, we'll eat everything. That's why if we have a pig, we'll eat from the head to the tail. True? Oxtail soup, everything from tip to toe. We eat everything. That's what God says, right? So the Chinese, therefore, are the ones who are the most obedient to verse 3. Every moving thing we eat, right? Including even as a green herb, have I given you in the past, only greens. Now you can eat green, you can eat meat, you can eat everything. Anything that can move, you can eat. However, flesh with life in it, where there is blood, you shall not eat. The you shall not eat is emphatic prohibition. Same kind of emphasis as the Ten Commandments. No compromise. Anything that is with blood in it, that means strangled, you cannot eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. So if anything kills man, murders man, that thing, that animal, that person will have to pay for it with his life. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? For in the image of God made he man. The image of God was never destroyed. This verse proves that. Verse 6. It had been marred because it is the basis for God teaching us the importance of capital punishment. Anyone, any country that does not believe in capital punishment, you do not believe that man is made in the image of God. That's another problem with evolution, isn't it? If we are all related to the monkeys, the donkeys, and the gorillas, then we are not made in the image of God. And because we are not made in the image of God, you can just kill man anytime, anywhere you like. And so when you kill, you don't have to pay for it with your life, because it's just like part and parcel of any other creatures on earth. That's a terrible, terrible thing. God says man is the only creature that God had made based upon his own image. And even after man had fallen into sin, the image is not destroyed. The image is barely marred. And that's why life of man is still very precious in the sight of God, and it must still be precious to us. We thank God for our country that continues to hold on to capital punishment, which is very, very good, because people who believe in capital punishment are the people who have the highest value for life. Any other substitute, when you kill somebody, you do not take his own life, especially if it's murder, then you have a low view of life. So those who say capital punishment is barbaric, they themselves are barbaric because they have a low view of life. When you practice capital punishment, you have a high view of life, the highest view of life, because that is God's view. Because only another life can pay for a life that has been taken because of murder. You cannot use money. Your years in prison is not good enough. It must be given by the shedding of blood. You have to die. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. He began with be fruitful and multiply. He ended with be fruitful and multiply, giving to us a new world with a new diet. No blood, because blood represents life. You can eat every other thing, but no eating of blood. Later on, God will give us another reason why Christians must always avoid blood. Because in heathenistic, idolatrous worship, drinking blood is always involved. And for the protection of Israel, they have been told never to eat blood. That means you can never participate in any of the heathenistic, idolatrous worship. You can never worship with them, because they will drink blood. You cannot drink blood. That was for Israel, the nation's protection. And for us, it is the same today. No eating of blood, but everything else you can eat, a new diet. Second, it will be a world with a new covenant. Verse 8 to verse 12. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, for emphasis, God, okay, God himself will establish. It is not up to you. I establish. That means I will dictate the terms. I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Verse 10 includes, okay, the covenant is not made only with men, but with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl of the cattle, of the fowl of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. Now please note, the fish not included in verse 10. Right? Because the fish, they were not affected at all by the global flood. But every other creature, land, breathing animal, birds, everything, they were affected. And so now after God had delivered them, giving every one of them a new start, a new beginning, because only male and female were brought inside the ark, God gave not only mankind a new start, but all the creatures on land, in the sky, a brand new start. Only the clean animals, God told Noah to take 7 sets of 2. But other than that, everything else, only male and female, brand new start. So now God will make a covenant with all of them inside the ark, including Noah and the family. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of the flood, neither shall there anymore be a flood to destroy the earth. God put his name on his promise. God never make an oath, and he never kept. He always keep his oath. And his oath means, I will never destroy the whole earth by a flood. If they believe in local flood, then what they are saying is that God has broken his word over and over and over and over again, because there have been local flood throughout the ages. And today you still have local flood with tsunamis and all sorts of local flood. Australia just experienced a local flood, which they consider as of biblical proportion because of the size and the magnitude. But if they know the scripture, it is still a poor usage of the term biblical. Because if it is biblical, it will be completely engulfed. The whole global earth has to be engulfed by water, which will never happen, because God put his name on the line. I promise you, all humankind, because Noah represented all of us, they were the only ones around. And all the other animals that were inside the ark who came out, and now God says, you can fill up the earth. I give you my word that such a kind of destruction of global catastrophe will never happen again. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. And God says, I will give you a sign. And every time you see this sign, it is to remind you of my covenant with you, my guarantee, my promise, that there was once upon a time a global flood that destroyed everything except the fish. Only those that were inside the ark survived. And God said, I give you my word that such kind of destruction will never happen again. Every time you see this sign. And so with this new world, we were given a new diet. With this new world, we are given a new covenant where God has given us this promise. No more a global destruction by water. And then he will also give to us a new sign. What exactly is this sign? Verse 13. I do set my bow, that's a rainbow, in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Every time you see the rainbow, it is this sign that there was a global flood. And God promised us there will never be a flood of this magnitude to destroy the world ever again. No matter how sinful the world will become, God promised us he will never destroy this whole earth with water. This is the new world that Noah saw. But from our perspective, it's an old world. It had been in existence for how many years? 4,000, 5,000 years from today. That's how old this world was. Is. Noah, when he came out, it was new to him. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. You see, that is upon the earth. Fish not included in this covenant. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So God always keeps his word. So no matter how bad the world will become, no more a destruction by fire. So when Noah opened the door of the ark for the first time at the end of the flood, he was given a new diet. He was given a new covenant. And he will for the first time look up into the sky and see a rainbow. And that will be the new sign that will recall and remind him of the old earth that he used to live in. And now this is the new earth. And how did we end up in this new earth, this new world? Because of sin. Because even though God could have washed, God did wash the whole earth of all its filth and all its sin, and God destroyed everything and everyone that had been involved in this sin, that had been contaminated by sin. But there was one thing that this new world did not change and could not change. The Bible described in chapter 8, verse 21, that thing that remained the same before and after the flood. Look at verse 21 of Genesis chapter 8. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, that is, after Noah had built an altar, sacrificed the clean animals, the clean birds, and God said, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, even though the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. So man's imagination in his heart has always been evil from his youth. The moment he knows the difference between the right hand and the left hand, he is evil. Look at God's description in chapter 6, verse 5. Before the flood, mankind before the flood that resulted in the destruction. Verse 5, Genesis 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's still the same. The difference is this. In Genesis chapter 6, this evil that was in man's heart had borne fruit, and the fruit had corrupted the whole earth. Remember what we read in chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 13 initially? God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So in Genesis 6, as far as the heart of the human beings were concerned, evil continuously. The difference after they lived a few hundred years on earth, this evil had blossomed and had infected the whole earth. Now the evil and the wickedness was felt and seen all over the world. But after the flood, God used water to wash the place where the fruit of the wickedness of the evil of man's heart had carried out its worst. God destroyed everything and started afresh for mankind. But the heart of Noah and his sons, and later on when they have children, the sinful nature remains. The moment man knows the difference between the right hand and the left hand, the Bible description is, we are still just as bad. The imagination of man's heart is still evil. No change. The only difference is, it has now not borne fruit yet, it has now not covered the earth as it was in the days of Noah. But that was 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. Today, it is 4,000 or 5,000 years later. Look at our earth. Is it not like in the days of Noah, where the imagination of evil did not remain in our imagination? Now it has borne fruit. It is now seen all over the world. Every major city, every home, everywhere you go, you find the imagination of the evil in our heart openly publicized for the whole world to see. In magazines, through the internet, through movies, shopping centers, building blocks, everywhere we go, every which way you turn your head, it is the same. Like in the days of Noah, just before the flood. How many years from the time when God created Adam to the time when God destroyed the earth, compared to our time, 4,000 or 5,000 years later? In those days, men were allowed to live 800 or 900 years. The time that they took to corrupt the earth up to the point when God destroyed it in the days of Noah by the great flood is shorter. You just add on the years and you will agree. Compared to our time, it's longer. But because we live a shorter time period, 70 years and 10, we needed more time to arrive at the same level of sin and wickedness as it was in the days of Noah. But God promised He will never destroy the earth by water, and He did. He continued to keep this promise. But He gave us a lot of inkling, a lot of little tips to tell us that this world is ready for destruction. And God did warn us that although He will not destroy this earth by water, but He will destroy this earth by fire this time. And it will not be the fire from the atomic bombs of man. It will be a global catastrophe that God Himself will send. The fire will descend from heaven, and it will burn this earth, and it will turn it into a global destruction. And because it will be by fire, as God has said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it will be by fire. There will be no ark. There will be no flotation device. You can't float. It's going to be by fire. You can't hide inside. There is no hole deep enough, no cave deep enough to protect us. It has to be only in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that we can be preserved and be saved from this fire from heaven that will burn up this whole earth. Just as God destroyed this old earth with water, God tells us, I will destroy this new earth with fire. And it has been preserved for that particular purpose, as God had so clearly, specifically mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 3. Where God said this, verse 5 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You see, the old earth out of the water, and the earth that is in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Just as the global flood destroyed this earth, God said that must now be the evidence that you must believe what God has prophesied that will take place in the future. But the heavens and the earth which are now, that is our new earth, not that new anymore, but by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. Why? And perdition of ungodly men. Same reason. God destroyed the old earth, sin. Same reason why God will now destroy our earth, because of sin. And the only way you and I can escape is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the modern ark. Just as the ark protected and saved Noah and the animals, Jesus Christ is the only one who can protect us from God's destruction. It will come. All the so-called beautiful buildings that man built, God will just simply destroy them. It will be all turned to rubble. This is what is in store for this world of ours. God will not allow something that He has created for man's enjoyment and for His glory to turn into a global darkness of sin, filth, and wickedness and great immorality. And the only way that God can save us is to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for all our sins. And He did. And the only way that you and I can be delivered from the wrath of God that is soon to come is to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where the modern safety is, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere else, no one else. The flood is the evidence, is the guarantee that this new world of ours will not last for long. It has been in this state for too long. God is waiting for more of us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ before He destroyed this world. He is very patient. He is very long-suffering. Please do not think that just because punishment is not immediate, God does not know or you and I can get away with it. God delay in His destruction of this earth because He wants you to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why there is this delay. He could send this at any time based upon His justice, but based upon His grace and His mercy and His love for you and for me and your loved ones who are still without Christ. The days we can serve Him are numbered, children of the Most High God, brothers and sisters in Christ. We must no more be so engulfed, so caught up by all these worldly pursuits. They are nothing. It is a dead-end road. But only when we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords by going out and tell the world about Christ, that is what gives meaning, true meaning to our life. Because we know the truth, don't we? We know this world is reserved for fiery destruction, just as we believe this old earth was destroyed by watery destruction. If we truly believe this, then our present life must be lived in light of what we say we believe in. And to pursue after worldly things and all this materialism, it runs counter to what we say we believe in, because it's going to be burnt up and destroyed. Why do you and I want to accumulate all these things and think that these are what it matters in life? What it matters in life is that your life is a blessing to others. When people look at your life, they see Christ. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, believe Him now, tonight, because He is the Ark. He is the only one who can save you from the fiery destruction that will soon to come, because He came to die on the cross for your sins, and God accepted what He has done by raising Him from the dead. And if you and I were to die in our sins without the Savior, the Bible says we all end up in hell. No exception. We are not talking about crimes. We're talking about sin. And all of us have sinned against God. Our lying, our cheating, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and worst of all, the pride of life. This new world is already 4,000 or 5,000 years old. How long more will it exist? Not that long. The signs are already fulfilled before our very eyes. May God help us to realize that we are living in the last of the last days, and may all of God's children number their days and apply their hearts unto wisdom. For that is the only way to live, by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please our God. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we bow humbly before Thy holy presence, acknowledging, O Lord, that Thou art the God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. Thou hast created this world, and Thou hast destroyed this world because of men. Men who sinned continuously, not only in their mind, in their heart, but also in their deeds. And therefore Thou hast shown to us from Holy Scriptures how the old earth had to be destroyed, and You saved only those who were in the ark. And today, O Lord, we live 4,000 to 5,000 or maybe 6,000 years from that eventful, momentous day when Noah opened the ark and he saw this new world. But to us, it is an old world that is more than a few thousand years old. How long more, O Lord, before Thou will destroy this earth by fire? Only You know. And yet, Father, the signs are before us as Christians. Help us, therefore, to number our days and to be busy in the business of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to be up and about, telling people about Christ, and to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. For there is no greater cause than to defend the word of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, may this be our heart's cry and our heart's desire in these last days. Perchance, O Lord, there may be some in our midst who are still outside Christ. May Thou be merciful to speak to their hearts, that they may know that only in the Lord Jesus Christ may they be delivered from the wrath of God that is soon to come, that is, the fiery destruction of this new world that You have given to us. Help us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake, and hear our prayers. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.